Hey, welcome back. I'm going to open today with something that most fintech founders are completely sleeping on. And by the end of this episode, you'll understand why it could hit your payment infrastructure or your lending product before you ever see it coming in your dashboard. Let's get into it. Okay, here's the hook. A UAE government minister walked up to US Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and asked, quietly but directly, for contingency access to US dollar swap lines. That's not a routine diplomatic conversation. That is a fire alarm. And Darius Dale of 42 Macro flagged this on April 21st as a leading prospective risk signal, meaning it's pointing at something that hasn't broken yet, but could. Not a lagging indicator, not rearview mirror. This is a flare going up on the road ahead. Here's why it matters to you as a founder. Gulf petroleum exporters, UAE, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, sell oil globally, accumulate dollar surpluses, and then recycle those surpluses into US Treasury bonds. That recycling loop is a foundational input to global capital market liquidity. It's one of the invisible pipes that keeps dollar-denominated everything flowing smoothly. If the Iran ceasefire collapses, if the Strait of Hormuz gets disrupted, that recycling loop can evaporate. Dale's words, not mine. It is the actual evaporation of liquidity. Not GDP going down, not earnings going down. Liquidity. Gone. So what does that mean for you practically? Three things. First, if you're running any kind of Gulf region payment corridor, USD settlement, AED, SAR, QAR rails, you need to stress test right now against reduced FX liquidity. Not when it happens, now. Second, if you've built a cash management product that parks client funds in short duration treasuries, and a lot of embedded banking founders have, model out what happens when foreign central bank demand for those instruments compresses. Bid-ask spreads widen, instruments you're treating as risk-free get a lot less liquid. And third, if you've got multi-currency exposure in Gulf corridors, pressure test your swap line access and counterparty arrangements today. Dale's base case is still positive resolution. He thinks this gets worked out, but the cost of not preparing for the alternative is asymmetrically high. This is a cheap insurance problem. Do the work now. Let's shift to your consumer credit stack, because this is where things get really uncomfortable really fast. Danielle DiMartino Booth of QI Research, former Federal Reserve Dallas analyst with direct FOMC-adjacent experience, dropped a number that should reset how you think about your underwriting models. Approximately 7 million Americans are unemployed right now. Of those 7 million, only about 25% are actually collecting unemployment benefits. And if you expand that to include marginally attached workers, people not actively job searching but available and wanting to work, that benefit collection rate drops to around 14% of the full cohort. Think about that for a second. Your credit decisioning model is probably calibrated to official BLS unemployment data, but that BLS number is only capturing a fraction of the actual stress in your borrower pool. The people who are struggling, who are not collecting benefits, who are not showing up in the headline number, they are in your portfolio right now, and you don't fully see them yet. Building on that, DiMartino Booth also flagged that the most recent CPI food at home print came in at zero. Not because food got cheaper, because consumers are buying less food. That is a spending constraint signal hiding inside a number that looks benign on the surface. For BNPL founders, personal loan platforms, earned wage access providers, the playbook here is immediate. Audit whether your credit models are pulling alternative data sources. Rent payment history, utility payments, gig platform activity. Those signals are closer to ground truth right now than BLS unemployment. If you're not supplementing your models with that kind of data, you are flying blind into a default wave that official numbers won't show you until it's too late. pull your credit underwriting model documentation, even if it's a spreadsheet, even if it's a vendor's default configuration, and identify every place where BLS unemployment rate is used as a macro input, then flag it. Not to delete it, but to add a supplemental data layer alongside it. Sign up for a free trial of a rent payment data or utility payment data API. There are several providers with low-cost indie founder tiers, and run your current active portfolio against that alternative signal set. You don't have to rebuild your model today. You just need to see the gap between what your model thinks it knows and what's actually happening in your borrower base. That visibility gap is where your next default wave is hiding. Find it now, not in your Q3 loss report. Get after it. We'll talk tomorrow.